Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Yeah, it is fun. It's always been fun. That's why I came back to coach, especially with the Raiders. It's always been, you know, the best time of my life, and to share it with Raider fans again for the first time in a long time was special. And I just can only imagine what it's going to be like when Seattle comes in to start the season. It'll be very loud, I would expect.
What's up, Raider Nation? John Gruden puts the challenge out to you already to be loud at Allegiant Stadium on Saturday, which I'm no mathematician, but I can count to six. Right? We're 5 days away. See, there you go. I am not a mathematician. I'm a day ahead of myself. Keep thinking that today was Sunday, but why would I be doing a radio show on Sunday? Exactly. But anyway, 5 days from the Raiders kicking off their 2021 season. I know it's preseason, but don't tell me for 1 second that you're not itching to watch your Raiders play. You're not obviously going to see many of the starters playing, if at all. We all get that. We all understand that. But there's so many intriguing storylines about these Raiders. So many young players that Raider Nation, the coaching staff, us in the media, kind of want to get our arms around and our heads around and to see what kind of progress have some of these guys made, what kind of mark could some of these rookies make early on? Where are they in terms of progress? Are they ready to contribute, especially defensively? You talk about Trayvon Morig. I call him Trayvon Mullen on Twitter. I am sorry, number 25. There's two Trayvons in the same secondary. It's bound to happen. And I had the brain freeze earlier today. Of course, I'm talking about Trayvon Morig getting the start, at least early on, at free safety. By the way, you're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. It is a Monday. I'm fired up after what I saw yesterday over at Allegiant Stadium. 20,000, 25,000, I would say, showed up at Allegiant Stadium for a training camp practice, because that's really what it was. That's a lot of people to show up for a training camp practice, but it was super spectacular and special. Just getting to see Raider Nation, Raider fans in that beautiful building, Allegiant Stadium, interacting, mingling, being able to watch the Raider players out on the field, the Raider players being able to finally feed off of their fans. And it was only 25. You want to say only, but that's for a training camp practice. That's I won't say unprecedented, because there's places around the country. The Pittsburgh Steelers usually do a annual scrimmage that draws a lot of people. The Vikings used to do that as well. I don't know if they still do it, but the point I'm making is it's very unusual to get that many fans to show up at a training camp practice. But Raider Nation got the call out from the Raiders, their season ticket holders, their PSL holders, to show up on Sunday to be able to watch practice. It was the first time Allegiant Stadium was open to fans in terms of being able to literally watch their favorite team, the Raiders. And I wrote a story today. I cover the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review Journal. You could go out, download the app Vegas Nation, or just go to the computer vegasnation.com. And I wrote about how I'm not sure who had more fun yesterday, the players or the fans. It was a little bit of both. And I can honestly say, and it got loud in there at times, and it was still, you know, even though it was a third, I guess, what's 25, what is that, the third of 65,000? I don't know. But anyway, it was not nearly half fill, right? But they were still making a lot of noise. So the acoustics are really good. You can only imagine what it's going to be like when there's 65,000 in there, and that's coming pretty quickly, maybe even Saturday, you know, for the preseason game. We'll see. But John Gruden talking about how exciting it was for the Raiders and himself to be out there doing their job in front of the fans, and their anticipation of what it's going to sound like on Saturday when the Seattle Seahawks come to town. It will be the only preseason game that the Raiders play at Allegiant Stadium. Back up a little bit, if you remember correctly, the NFL added a 17th game to the schedule, and that meant that they cut out one preseason game, the fourth preseason game, to add an additional regular season game. And the way they're doing it, I don't know if this is going to be standard procedure, but at least for the first 2 years, the first year, the AFC teams get an additional game at home because obviously they're adding one more game. So it's the AFC versus an NFC team for that 17th game. It doesn't mean it falls in the 17th week of the season or 18th week of the season. They just fit it in somewhere where they could. And next year, the NFC is going to host an AFC team for that 17th game of the season. And what that means is if you are an AFC team, then you only have one preseason game at home. The other two are on the road of the three that you play this year. The NFC, obviously, with one less home game in the regular season, gets one extra preseason game, if that makes any sense. So the Raiders will be at home Saturday against the Seattle Seahawks. That will be the one preseason game they play at Allegiant Stadium. They're on the road next week. I will be there when they go to practice against the Rams. Joint practices in Thousand Oaks, California, my old hunting grounds. It's going to be great to see my friends with the Rams and some of the reporters, my colleagues for years and years out at the facility that where the Rams practice at Cal Lutheran University in Thousand Oaks. So the Raiders will practice against the Rams Wednesday and Thursday of next week, a day off on Friday, and then they will play the Rams at SoFi Stadium Saturday night. I think it's at 7 o'clock or maybe 6 o'clock. We'll check the schedule. And then the following week after that, they wrap up the preseason against the San Francisco 49ers in Santa Clara, California on Sunday the 28th, I believe it is. And then it's a week off, or maybe it's the 29th. But anyway, it's that Sunday, and then it's 2 weeks off until the season opener, September 13th, against the Baltimore Ravens Monday night in Las Vegas. And while I have your ear on that, I want to make a special announcement. I alluded to it on Friday, but it's all official. We are going to be hosting a Raider Nation day before tailgate party at the Rockstar Bar on Las Vegas Boulevard, right across the street from the town square on Las Vegas Boulevard, from 5 till whenever. You know how we do it in Las Vegas. But I'm inviting all Raider fans, whether you're here in Las Vegas, whether you're coming in from out of town, beginning at 5 o'clock Sunday, September 12th, and then the day before every home game the rest of the season. So 8 more Saturdays, or I guess it would be Saturdays, or if they're playing on a Monday night, another Sunday. We'll have to check the schedule. But in any event, the day before every home game this season, over at the Rockstar Bar on Las Vegas Boulevard, about a mile or so probably from Allegiant Stadium, if that, 2 miles maybe from Allegiant Stadium, we're going to be throwing Raider Nation Radio a huge party for all Raider fans locally coming in out of town. Let's get together. Let's have some fun, eat some food, have some drinks, listen to some great music. There's going to be giveaways. There's going to be a Q&A with myself, Q Myers, who hosts the Unnecessary Roughness show from 2 to 4, will also be there. We're still working out the kinks, because we might do, actually, and we're keeping our fingers crossed that this is all going to work, we might actually do a bonus Raider Nation Radio show, remote show, radio show, through, you know, from 5 to 7 as well, as we're partying, and then, you know, kick it together after that. But again, if you're in town, whether you're local or coming in from out of town, join us at the Rockstar Bar every day before each game, 5 o'clock. Yes, Damon?
Oh no, I was like, oh, this sounds kind of familiar. Let me actually look at the Google Maps and see where this is at. I will be there later tonight, actually. after I finish up a couple of things, me and some friends are going to go hit a few golf balls. It's right next to the Las Vegas Golf Center.
Exactly.
That's why I was like, oh, that sounds real familiar. Sounds very familiar.
You're exactly right. There's endless amounts of parking, too. There's a huge parking lot. I guess it would be the south of the main parking lot. It's a very cool bar if you're a rock fan. There's all kinds of rock pictures from all the greats over the years. There's a nice big stage. If we do the radio show, we'll do it from that stage. But it's all for the fans. Listen, we all missed out last year, without question. It was the Raiders' first year here in Las Vegas, and that was cool. It was great. And being here in Las Vegas, moving from Los Angeles the way I did to cover the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, it was great. It was an honor, but something was missing. And that something was fan interaction, and not just Sundays over at Allegiant Stadium or Monday nights or whatever night the game is, and the fans doing their part to make that atmosphere as electric as I believe it's going to be, but also just the weekend of the NFL. An NFL weekend is really cool. I travel, obviously. My work takes me everywhere across the NFL, whatever team I'm covering, to games. I usually, on an East Coast trip, I'll get there on Friday, but you know, the West Coast trips or closer trips, you get there on Saturday. But when you're covering the Raiders, what you quickly understand is wherever you go, there's going to be Raider fans. But that's the same for the Steelers and the Seahawks and, you know, some of these great organizations and NFL teams. Wherever you go, somebody is going to be there representing. And it's really cool to see. You see them at the airports. It's fun traveling on a Friday or on a Saturday. And if you have a connecting flight, you'll see jerseys, NFL jerseys all over the place as fans are making – you know, their connection to where they're going to Kansas City or they're going to Green Bay or they're going to Chicago or New York. So on a Saturday or on a Friday, you could always tell who's playing on the road because you see all these fans there getting to wherever they're going to get to. You also see it. Then this is really cool. When you go down, if you go up to Seattle, you're going to see Oregon fans. If you go down to North Carolina, you're going to see for the college football as well. So it's really cool. And we want to make this a special year for Raider Nation, for listeners of Raider Nation. We really appreciate, you know, all your interaction and how you've jumped on board. The numbers are really great. I know on the podcast version of In the Huddle, we can't miss a day downloading the podcast or else I hear about it. So I know you guys are listening out there. I truly, truly appreciate it. I get a lot of feedback from listeners, whether it's on Twitter, Facebook, emails. I hear it all. I see it all. I truly, truly appreciate it. Even when you're, giving me the business over a take, that's all cool. That's what football and sports is all about. And that's what our parties are going to be all about. We're going to get together, shake hands, have some fun, take pictures, and talk ball. And, typically it's always going to be if it's a Saturday before a Sunday, you're going to have great college football on the big screen TVs that Sunday, September 12th, before the Monday night game on the 13th. It'll be Sunday night football, so we'll be able to have some football in the air. So it's going to be great. I really want you guys, as many of you as possible, to come visit us. The Rockstar Bar. We'll be talking about it throughout the season, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So, and Damon, you're gonna have to show up, right? I mean, you're always Mr. Invisible over here, not showing up,
Well, I'm going
to
have
to send you the limousine to come drive you over.
Well,
there.
Well, someone else is going to have to do me the solid and run the board here. If that means me making an appearance.
I've heard that there might be something along those lines.
I mean, if the people want to see me, I'll make an appearance. You're starting to hype me up. It's like in my head, like the fans are clamoring for Damon. It's like, we want. That's
I
how
can
I'm
only imagine what some of those conversations are going to go like, Damon. And I think you do, too.
Oh, yeah. I'll defend everything I've ever said on this station.
I think you're the role you play as the heel is going to is going to be talked about. I think you're going to get a little. What do we got here? Little League World Series?
Yes, it is. But Vinny, I'll defend myself as the heel because one thing about every heel is in their mind they're the good guy.
That's true.
It's justified.
I mean, you have to think that, right?
Because nobody else does.
I'll tell you that right now. But it's all good. And Damon, we definitely want you to come out and join us. So keep that in mind. Also, another I mentioned this on Friday as well. This Friday, over at the Treasure Island, we will be hosting In the Huddle from 4 to 6 p.m. I'll get you all the details when we get back from the break. But beginning this Friday and for a whole bunch of Fridays after that, we're going to be doing a live version of In the Huddle. So I'm going to get you all where exactly you need to be. Obviously, the Treasure Island is a big hotel, but it's the sports book at Treasure Island. I'm going to get you the name, the dates, all of that. But we want, if you're in town on Friday ahead of the game against the Seattle Seahawks, or if you're just here in Las Vegas, because people like to come here, by the way, then stop on by the Treasure Island at the Sportsbook there. I'll get you all the correct names and all that when we come back from break. But I'd love to see you guys on Friday. It's going to be kind of a tradition moving forward. If I'm not there, then you know, because obviously there's going to be some times the following week. I won't be there only because, you know, the Raiders are going to be in Los Angeles. But we will have you covered. I think Q's going to usually step in that regard. So Raider Nation Radio is out in force. We're looking forward to it. It's a big opportunity this year for us and our fans to really start developing some deep connections. You know, we're a year in the making. It was a tough year last year with COVID-19. We had some special plans in mind, but you know, with everything that happened, it really sabotaged some of the great things that we were trying to do. We're back on track, and we're keeping our fingers crossed that COVID-19 works out. And if so, then we're going to have a lot of fun this year. It's going to be, I think, a great season for the Raiders. Obviously, they got to stay healthy. But I think that the talent, somebody asked me, I think it was Albert Breer was at the Allegiant Stadium yesterday, and we were talking about things, and he was just asking me my, you know, kind of impression of the team. And you know, again, I've told you guys, the listeners, this, I remember in 2019, John Gruden's second season, when I was covering the Rams, going up to Napa Valley. The Rams were playing the Raiders in the preseason. They did a joint practice with the Raiders, kind of like what the Raiders are going to do next week in Thousand Oaks with the Rams, to kind of return the favor. But I'm the reporter covering for The Athletic, covering the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams are coming off a Super Bowl appearance the year before, so I understood what a Super Bowl team looked like. You know, the Rams had a great season in 2018. They barely missed the playoffs in 2019. Last year, of course, they get back to the playoffs. So I know what it looks like. You know, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I know what a good team looks like. We go up there to start the 2019 season up in Napa Valley, John Gruden's second year, and it was pretty obvious, painfully obvious, if you were paying attention, how light that roster was for the Raiders in 2019. There were just holes all over the place. And there were, you saw some young talent, the Josh Jacobs, the Max Crosbys, the Clee Farrells, the Trayvon Mullen, you know, Alec Ingold. That 2019 rookie class really did stand out. That's the first time I really got a chance to look at Darren Waller. I'm like, who is this? You could tell instantaneously that Darren Waller was going to be somebody to contend with. But, you know, and defensively, it was just, besides the young guys, it was just hole after hole after hole. And I know you go, well, okay, Vinny, you know, they traded Khalil Mack the year before. We've talked about that trade and some of the dynamics behind it. I just had a conversation with somebody about this over the weekend, and it wasn't like, if you go back to 2018 when John Gruden took over, yes, they had Khalil Mack, yes, they had Amari Cooper, and those were two pretty decent, good players. I mean, Khalil Mack is a fantastic player without question. Okay, but if you look at that defense, there was nothing else around it in 2018. Like, there's nobody that's even left from that roster. Maybe Jonathan Hankins, I'd have to go back and look. And Carl Joseph obviously has come back since. But if you look at across the board of that defense, nobody is here, okay? That's how bad that defense was. That's how much rebuilding needed to be done. And I think John Gruden, in retrospect, sized that whole thing up, all right? Could the Raiders have signed Khalil Mack to a $22, $23 million a year contract? Yes, they could have done that. But what sense would it have made to spend $23 million on one player and have just multiple holes across the board around him? And you say to my, you know, if you want to make this argument, well, Aaron Donald, who signed immediately ahead of Khalil Mack. Remember, they were drafted the same year. Khalil Mack was the fourth player drafted, a third player drafted, somewhere around there. Aaron Donald was the 13th player drafted in his draft. Okay. Fifth. Okay. So there's a big, huge money difference between that. When you get to your fifth year, Khalil Mack was scheduled to make $13, maybe $14 million in his fifth year, whereas Aaron Donald, I think, was scheduled to make $6.97 million. That's half of what, basically half of what Khalil Mack was scheduled to make in that fifth year of each player's contracts. Okay. Who was in a better position at that point to just wait out the other guy to set the market? If you're Khalil Mack and you have to play at 14 or 13, whatever it was, you're in a better position than somebody that's making $7 million or whatever it was half of what Khalil Mack was making. Okay. So Khalil Mack was never going to sign until Aaron Donald signed. Okay, the Rams signed Aaron Donald. Now you can argue, well, the Rams signed Aaron Donald to $21 million. Why didn't the Raiders sign, Khalil Mack? Well, the Rams also had a stellar defense in place already. They had an emerging offense that was flying high under, you know, Sean McVay and Jared Goff and Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp and Brandon Cooks. They had a great team. They had a great team in 2018, a team that went to the Super Bowl, mind you, all right? So in their mind, they're chasing the Super Bowl. They had a ready set roster in place. It made sense for the Rams to say, okay, yeah, we have to bring back Aaron Donald. We can't afford to lose him. We're trying to win the Super Bowl. We have a Super Bowl roster in place. It was entirely different. And if you talk to the Rams people, if they would have been in the Raiders' situation with their personnel, with their lack of personnel, they might have made the same exact decision that the Rams, that the Raiders did. Like, it doesn't make sense to sign one player to that much money when we have holes all over the place. It made sense for the Rams. It didn't really make sense for the Raiders. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Raider Dave is in Denver. How you doing, Raider Dave?
Oh, I'm good. I'm glad you're bringing up that L.A. Preseason game. Didn't that follow with an L.A. Raider opening game?
No, it what followed was the preseason game. You're thinking about the year before. It was John Gruden's first game, and the Raiders, okay. The Rams went up to play the Raiders to start the season. It was a Monday night.
Right,
I'll never
right.
forget that because there was a skunk at Oakland Coliseum that died, and just I had to go back to my hotel to write my story. That's how bad it was. I had to throw the clothes that I was wearing. I had to throw it out because it just stank to high heaven.
If I remember that game right, the Raiders hung within a score with them for three quarters, and it looked like they might even have a chance to win. I mean, they really did show up, and it was a very good Rams team. But, of course, the Rams outlasted them and ended up taking advantage of some late chances the Raiders had to take to try to do something. But it was an impressive showing right off the bat for the Raiders to open the season.
It was. That was 2018. And in talking to some Raiders people, I think John Gruden took 2018 to really take a good look at this roster. And what he ultimately decided is there's a lot of work that needs to be done, which was pretty obvious. I do remember that Monday night game. It was one of those funky, and I got to tell, I'm sure fans feel this as well, especially if you go to the game, but there's something about having to play at, and in that case, that game was the second Monday night game. Remember, there's always...
Yeah, they had them split still, right?
Yeah, so it was like a 7:30, 8 o'clock game, and it's...
And I have a question for you, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, you go ahead.
Well, I'm just trying to say that, and trying to read the tea leaves here from you, that what you have seen yesterday inside Allegiant Stadium, you're noticing the advancements that this team has had. You're noticing the holes that are getting filled. And you gauged it against a team that was a Super Bowl caliber and playoff team then, and you knew where the Raiders were then. What are you thinking now?
You're exactly right, Raider Dave. And what I can say is it's night and day. The roster is night and day between that start of 2019, let alone 2018. Without question, it's night and day from 2018. But it looks different, and it looks better. Flat out, it looks better. The talent is on the roster. There's enough talent on this team, I believe, to make a major playoff push. I truly believe that. Football seasons unfold the way football seasons unfold. There's unexpected situations that arise. There's injuries. There's factors that we cannot account for sitting here on, what is it, August 10th, August 11th, whatever day it is today. There's things that are going to happen this year, good, bad, whatever, that we just cannot foresee right now. But if you're talking about talent, the Raiders have enough talent to make the playoffs this year. I have no doubt about it. You're listening to Raider Nation Radio. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignore. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignore on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
All right, I promised you guys information on the Friday show over at the Treasure Island from 4 to 6 p.m. It'll be every Friday from here on out. Indefinitely, we'll put it that way. It's over at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside the Treasure Island. We'll be there Fridays from 4 to 6 p.m. If you haven't been down there, you gotta check it out. They've got free parking, a 60-foot video wall that's truly unbelievable. They'll be serving great drink specials like $18 domestic beer pitchers, $10 cocktails, $8 draft beers. We look forward to seeing you Fridays 4 to 6 p.m. at the Treasure Island at the Golden Circle Sportsbook starting this Friday, Friday the 13th. A day ahead of the Seattle Seahawks visiting Allegiant Stadium. Can't wait for that. But would love to see all of you guys out there at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside the Treasure Island Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation list or guest line and welcome in a good friend of the show. Somebody who I think, I didn't see Eddie out at the game yesterday, but I've got to believe that Eddie was at Allegiant Stadium. How can you miss that? Of course, I'm talking about Eddie Pascal from Raiders.com. Does a tremendous job in content and everything else that that he's doing over there. Eddie, thanks for joining us in the huddle. Really appreciate it. I'm going to assume that you were there yesterday, and maybe I saw you, and if I did, I apologize for completely blowing you, big league in you.
No need to apologize, Vinny. Yes, I was there. I was up hiding in the press box, so I saw all of you guys down on field level in your little corner out, you know,
playpen.
Right next to the
field. We called it a playpen.
Yeah, a playpen. So we were up in the press box, going through a bunch of stuff. It was a run through for us as well. So that's where we were up, kind of set up shop, and that's where we were recording post practice. But yeah, man, I was there, and do not feel bad. We didn't see anyone yesterday outside of the, you know. We saw the fans and everyone, but we didn't see anyone kind of close up and in person.
All right, got it.
I don't take it personally.
I'm gonna give you a couple of quick impressions of Allegiant Stadium. The first and foremost is normally when you walk into a domed stadium, you don't get the beautiful smell of actual grass. Okay, and being where we were last year, we didn't really get a chance to ever get down to the field. Protocols, we all know what the situation was. But yesterday, as you said, we were situated in our little playpen. The media was right off the Raiders' defensive sideline, or actually everyone was there. But so kind of like in the southwest corner over there. But we were on the field, and you can just smell beautiful grass. That's a great feeling being in a dome stadium. Not to mention, plenty of stadiums, even outside these days, are the fun turf, which to me takes a little fun out of it.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was being in the stadium yesterday was great for so many reasons, right? It was good to, I think, you know, I tweeted out, I credited John and the staff really the timing of yesterday's practice. We're over 2 weeks into camp now, and I think that it was the perfect time to get a new set of scenery, right? We've been here in Henderson at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. And it's a beautiful place, but at some point training camp, and you know this, it starts to feel like Groundhog's Day a little bit. So for us to get into somewhere new, for the players to be able to kind of run through what a pregame looks like was great. Obviously, the environment there was awesome. It was so good to see people in the seats enjoying themselves. And overall, just a really nice, pleasant way to spend an afternoon and learn a little bit about the Raiders in the process.
And we were inside beating the heat outside. So that's
1,000%.
That's never a bad thing. I feel like the estimation that I got was 25,000 fans there, which is a monumental number for a training camp practice. So kudos to the season ticket holders and PSL holders who punched the RSVP and showed up. That was really big on them. And I wrote that I can't tell who had more fun, the players or the fans. And I think it's probably a 50-50 split because I know the players appreciated the presence. But also, Eddie, I feel like the acoustics are going to be tremendous inside the stadium. There were a couple of times, more than a couple of times, where the fans, you know, made their presence known, even at that number, and it was pretty loud. Yes, they were piping in some noise to kind of emulate what it's going to sound like on the road from time to time. But on it, you know, in and of themselves, the fan noise was noticeable. I can only imagine what it's going to sound like with 65,000 there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the moment we've all had circled on the calendar. It's the moment we've all been kind of looking forward to. And just to your point, Vinny, man, a huge shout out to the fans for coming out and spending a Sunday afternoon with the silver and black. Because when I was walking in, I was on the phone with one of my buddies in California, and I was walking in through the lot, and I was like, man, it doesn't feel quite like a game day, but I was like, we're pretty close. I mean, you have people tailgating, you have such a celebration of life, football and everything. And it was so much fun to see that. And then to physically get into Allegiant, to watch the fans kind of watch practice and to kind of enjoy the atmosphere there. And like you said, man, the environment was great. The acoustics were awesome. And it was kind of that perfect warm-up for like, okay, we're getting closer. We're not quite there yet. I know we still have a few weeks before the Ravens come to town. But it really did feel like, all right, this is the next kind of major step in our offseason checklist.
We're talking to Eddie Pascal from Raiders.com. He does a tremendous job over at the site, you know, putting out great content, whether it's videos, written work, the whole gamut. They do a really good job over there. Tip of the cap to Raiders.com. Eddie, today was kind of a cool day. A depth chart was released today.
An unofficial depth chart.
Yeah, now, I got a little bit of a bone to pick with you, Eddie. I saw the unofficial, but I don't see anything egregious there. Show me where I'm wrong to think that, you know, this isn't going to be very, very close to what it's going to look like when the season opens.
Yeah, I think if you're like us, Vinny, you've been at practice every day, I mean, there's nothing really here that surprises you. I just think that it's important to remember, and you know this as well as I do, that this is all going to change over the next couple of weeks based on who performs well in preseason, based on who, you know, really kind of has a really strong 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it is, headed into week one. But, yeah, I mean, not a ton of surprises. You know, definitely not too many things that kind of make you raise your eyebrow and think. I think that the fact that we had Gerald McCoy listed at, what was it, the fourth nose tackle, I don't know if I buy that.
That's going to change without question. Yeah.
When he starts I don't know if I buy that. But, you know, the good thing is this is great fodder for conversation, and it kind of talks about, we were talking about how practice at Allegiant yesterday was kind of just another stepping stone as we get towards the regular season. The first unofficial depth chart is the exact same thing as well.
Always, and I think it's, to be honest with you, while it does create a lot of fodder for us, and we love that, I think it's more for the players than anybody else, because if you're third, fourth, whatever, second, maybe, although you've seen it, you've seen the depth chart every day. You know where your reps are coming, when your reps are coming, when you're, you know, going to be on the field. So you know full well where you slot in the whole scheme of things. It can be a wake-up call. I don't think Gerald McCoy, if he makes this team, which I fully expect him to do, he's going to be in the rotation. He hasn't been here long enough for that to take hold. What do you make of the Tanner Muse outside linebacker in first team base defense? And I've got a theory as well. I'd love to hear yours.
I mean, that's the one that everyone on Twitter has been popping off about, right, over the past, an hour, I guess, since the depth chart came out. And look, I think that, you know, Tanner's in that position for a reason, but I will say this. I will preface this by saying he's got to have a really strong preseason, and that's not something that is probably a secret to him. I mean, this is a guy who we barely saw play football last year, and while every indication that we've seen and we've heard is that, hey, this guy's taken a really big step forward in year two, as we all expect the year two guys to take that step. But all the same, like, we got to see it when the pads come on. I think for him, the preseason is going to be so crucial. I think it's going to be so critical to kind of, not only for the coaching staff to say, hey, this is what he's capable of doing, but I think also for himself a little bit to be like, hey, I know last year I was on the, I was kind of getting healthy, I was getting right, but hey, I can still do this and I can do it at a really high level. But what's kind of your theory, Vinny? What do you think about?
Well, I think, yeah. First of all, base defense is probably the least defense you're going to play during the course of the season. So the percentage wise compared to sub packages, nickel, dime, all that type of stuff. So I think there's a strategic reason why, and obviously Tanner Muse has to hold on to the position, but base defense is usually, you know, what you're going to play to maybe start a drive, especially in an early down situation when you suspect a team might run the ball. Okay, so when you look at who the starting defensive ends are, Yannick Ngakoue on one end, Max Crosby on the other, both are great pass rushers. In the case of Yannick, he's an elite pass rusher. Max Crosby has shown some elite pass rushing skills. Where they're a bit deficient is in run defense, statistically or historically, you know, by the numbers. I think a guy like Tanner Muse, and I've been watching where they line him up in base defense, he'll typically shade one hip of either Max Crosby or of Yannick Ngakoue. So the thinking, I believe, because if you look at Tanner Muse, he's every bit the 6'2", 230 he's listed. I think he's there in base defense to lend some run support for the two defensive ends whose run defense has been a bit suspect through the course of the year. So I think that's why he'll be on the field in those situations. I don't think for one second that Nick Kwiatkowski is on the outs or out of the picture. I think he's going to play the majority of the snaps. It's just not going to be maybe in base defense. You're going to get him on the field where he's probably better in pass defense and that sort of situation. Whereas I think Tanner Muse might, with his girth, might be able to help a little bit more in run support.
No, and I buy that for sure. I mean, I think you brought up a really good point in terms of looking at what is the defensive line, what does this do well, right? I mean, you got Yannick and Max, guys who are really solid, quality pass rushers, and then you kind of, like you said, you need someone who can kind of be a little more stout in the run. But I also think the important thing to remember, Vinny, is that if we've learned anything from a Gus Bradley defense, historically speaking, right? And I guess in theory, Gus could blow it all up and do something completely different here in Vegas. I don't think he will, but historically speaking, Gus is going to rotate a lot of guys. So whether you're the first team guy, the second team guy, if all goes to plan for Gus, I think you have a lot of defensive players rotating in. So by the time you get to that fourth quarter, got to have it drive that you have your guys at their absolute best when they need to be.
Absolutely. And the other part of his defense is what he's asking guys is you're going to get it. We're going to figure out what you do well. We're going to put you in that position. We're going to come up with packages for you. Now just master that. And a guy like Tanner Muse, if he can, you know, do well in that regard, is going to continue to play in those situations. And then you build off of that. You bring Nick Kwiatkowski in to do what he does best. It's going to be a lot of, like you said, role playing, a lot of guys shuffling in and out to match whatever the personnel grouping is on the offense or whatever the situation might be in the game. And the end result is you're more efficient in those type of situations. And when you get to end of games, you're probably going to be a little bit more, have a little bit more left in the tank across the board. So I look forward to seeing a whole bunch of different guys playing, because if you look at Bradley, wherever he's been, that has been the case. You're going to get a lot of players. And I think that also, Eddie sends a great message to your roster, to your to players on your defense that you're going to play. So keep at it, keep stay engaged, stay committed, stay dedicated. You're going to get on the field, and I think just that from a camaraderie standpoint and from a enthusiasm standpoint, guys are going to get locked in because they know they're going to be able to play.
No, and I'm with you there, and I think even for the folks like us, Vinny, I think that another great thing about kind of this Gus Bradley defense and the constant personnel changing that I think we all can't even anticipate that we're going to see come the regular season is that it makes the preseason a whole heck of a lot more enjoyable, because now we're going to be able to see, okay, when Max and Yannick aren't playing, because I really hope we're not seeing too much of Max and Yannick over the next couple of weeks, but when they're not out there, who slots in? How are we going to kind of shift things along the defensive line? What is that linebacking core going to look like if all of a sudden Nick Morrow isn't playing heavy snaps for these next 3 weeks? So the preseason at times can feel like kind of a drag, but I think that with this new look defense and everything that Gus Bradley is going to want to accomplish over the next month or so, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch the defense in particular once the preseason gets rolling.
I agree. And I think even on Saturday, you're going to have a bit of a dress rehearsal for the core guys and the rotational players. And then it's going to be kind of a free-for-all where, you know, but a lot of those guys that are part of that free-for-all are going to have a great opportunity to put something on tape, whether it's to state their case here with the Raiders or open some eyes around the league, because you know everybody's watching no matter where you are, whenever you're on the field or whatever team you're on, somebody is watching. And if you can make a favorable impression, it might not work out here. There's 31 other teams that might be interested based on what you put out on the film. So I love the preseason. I think it's hugely important. I know some people, you know, kind of dismiss it. It's important and an important function, especially coming off a season where we didn't have it last year. Eddie Pascal, thank you so much for spending some time with us in the huddle. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow, bright and early, back at the facility, and for sure on Saturday when the Seahawks come knocking on the door at Allegiant Stadium. We could finally see what that stadium is like during a game time situation. Appreciate it, Eddie.
Anytime, man. I got you. Have a good one, Vinny.
You too, Eddie. That's Eddie Pascal from Raiders.com. He does a tremendous job with the content that they do, writing videos, the whole nine yards. It's a great site. Go check it out, Raiders.com, and check out Eddie in particular. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
You're listening to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Now, back to your host, Vinny Bonsignor.
What's good, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Monday. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line, and TJ wants to talk about the Raiders, I think. TJ, how you doing?
Hey, Vinny, how's it going, man?
Doing good. Thank you very much. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, just wanted to kind of recap what you talked about before talking to Eddie about, you know, Raiders looking better. They were, you know, in the miserable situation with the roster and whatnot, and we wouldn't have done what we could without Khalil Mack, or without getting rid of Khalil Mack. For me, I'd have to disagree with that. Khalil Mack was a generational talent. Yeah, we got some draft picks, Josh Jacobs being one of them, but if you really think about it, if you kept Khalil Mack, who don't you get now that we have that is making all that difference? Most of our team is young. You have the draft picks. I mean, we may not even get Cleveland Farrell that 2019 draft. If you have Khalil Mack, we may get someone else. Well, would we be at the fourth pick? I don't know. But we could have been a lot lower, a lot higher. I mean, I don't really see a whole lot of difference other than you get a generational talent. You know what I mean? It's just, I'm not trying to say the Raiders don't look good or anything like that. I'm hoping the best for the defense. We were saying the same thing last year. The defense didn't come through. I hope that changes with Gus Bradley's scheme. And to the Raider fans saying, you know, Mack wasn't a real Raider, that's just ridiculous. That man wanted to be here. You know, we come to the league to join an organization. You want to stay, but pass rushes are hard to find. We're still looking for ours. You know what I mean? It's a hard position. That guy deserved every penny he got. We should have gave that to him. But, I mean, I just don't see how him not being here would have put us in a better situation. I just don't see it. Would we have gone after Antonio Brown? No, but that would have been a good thing. I mean, I don't see anybody on the team that we wouldn't be able to have if Khalil Mack was still with the Raiders.
Well, first off, the draft picks that the Raiders got wouldn't be here. You know, so there were a bunch of draft picks that Raiders got, and they
let's talk about those, Vinny. We got Josh Jacobs, Damon Arnett, and that's it. Now, don't get me wrong, Josh Jacobs, generational talent.
They got more than that because they used some of those picks to move around the draft board, traded things, and so there were draft picks that they got, but there's also money that opened up because they're not paying you know, one player $22 million, I think it was, for the next however many years. So that affects your salary cap and your ability to rebuild. I think what the Raiders felt like was I'm just talking about the plan and the thinking behind it. It wasn't because they just woke up and thought they were going to be better that year without Khalil Mack. They just felt like this is going to be a long process, even with Khalil Mack. And there's no assurances that they were going to be able to rebuild around, you know, close those holes, rebuild around Khalil Mack to the point where they are a, you know, consistent playoff team. And so you face the very real situation of wasting his years, your time, your money, because you're not able, because he's making so much money and you don't have the draft picks that you had gotten to rebuild for the future, trying to build around whether it's both Khalil Mack and your quarterback who's making $20-something million. What they felt was, the better way to approach this for the long range of the health of the franchise is to take that money and those draft picks and reinvest it in improving the roster across the board rather than just one player? Was it, you know, it's not ideal. I'm not saying that it's ideal. And it was a tough, difficult decision, but they were thinking over the long haul and not just being in a situation where they're paying a guy a whole bunch of money to go rush the passer and put up great stats, but not have enough around him or elsewhere to really be a good, solid football team for a length of period. Devon.
Oh, man, I think Khalil Mack's a real hot-button issue because we got another caller, Madro, on the line, and Madro also wanted to talk about Khalil Mack.
Okay, we're going to go out to the listener line and talk to our good friend Madro. How you doing, brother?
Oh, pretty good, Vinny. Actually, you just pretty much summed it up what I was going to say, because I think sometimes what some of the fans really don't understand, or at least they don't understand fully, is the cap. And, you know, it's as the playing football these days is as much about the cap as about your roster, because you can't really win, especially long-term, if you're paying two people quarterback money.
Right.
And that's what Khalil Mack was. In fact, actually, he got more than quarterback money at the time. And, you know, and the other thing is we could have kept him another year. You know, that's another one of the arguments, except that his agent, who, you know, was also Amari Cooper's agent, which is the reason we kind of got rid of Amari, because they were going to use the exact same strategy. Khalil was not going to report.
He never picked up the phone, yeah. You know?
Exactly. He wasn't going to come in, so we couldn't have kept him the other year in a five-year option. It wasn't going to happen. They were going to stonewall it, and they were already doing that. And if you take those two guys, and I think the money between the two of them, two out of 50, I think at the time, 54 roster spots, and the two took up something like 23% of the cap if they would have paid Khalil what he wanted, which the Bears did. The other thing is, and you never know this, because if you put that much money into just two players, either one gets hurt. My God, you're in real trouble. And, you know, Khalil, as much as, and I love the guy, I love watching him. He was amazing, you know, because talk about a motor that doesn't stop. But his production with Chicago has gone down every year.
Well, you know, yeah, exactly, because guys get older and things happen. You're not as good as you were physically. And you know, I think Khalil Mack obviously is a Hall of Fame caliber player without question. But again, it goes back to, and the Rams were could have been in this situation, but it was an opposite situation. They had a Super Bowl roster around Aaron Donald, and so it made sense to keep him there, because if you take him off, then you're not a Super Bowl roster anymore. So they needed to keep him at whatever cost it was. It made perfect sense. It doesn't always make sense, especially a defensive player, to pay that defensive player that much money, like Madro said, quarterback money, when you had holes all over the roster. I think what's really going to be the tell is how it all plays out over the next few years. This wasn't a short term. You couldn't gauge this short term. You just couldn't. There were too many future implications to this, and the Raiders truly believe they're going to be better off in the long run. And the Chicago Bears, what exactly have they done with Khalil Mack? Not taking anything away from Khalil Mack, but he hasn't made the big difference there, because they just haven't been able to get it done, even with him. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.